Seriously, I put this in the article. They had a sports car because the team looks good, right? You have a great arena building, whatever.
That's what I say.
You drop the 12-cylinder engine there, and then I think Fletcher at one point goes, yeah, the ignition switch wasn't working.
Right.
And to be fair to Yo, I mean, he's like, yeah, you didn't have an ignition switch. Having said that, he had pretty much played his big card with the blow up and stuff like that. I don't know where he could have gone from that. And I think, I mean, like I said, that was important. The differentiation is that now he has all this going for him.
But they're worn out. These guys have had so much pressure for such a long time. Huh. I mean, they've been getting their asses
interesting.
Out there on the ice. But he's in charge of getting them back into contention. That's a long run. That's a lot of wins. I mean, how many more are you going to have? Now the pressure's on for the last 8 games, and those other teams are up against the same kind of pressure to make the playoffs, too.
So we started the regular season. Remember the Rocky Mountain High or whatever. They're all a bunch of potheads out there in Denver. But remember they said when we were starting the regular season, we played the Colorado Avalanche and they picked us to be the Stanley Cup favorites. And then for the first half of the season,
we thought Kemper was a real deal, too.
But not, I mean, it wasn't only Kemper. I mean, it was the power play unit. We weren't scoring goals. It was this, it was that.
It was team chemistry. I didn't even know how to use Vanek. Now they're coaching him and showing him tape and everything else. I mean, having to coach Vanek up and Vanek saying, I get it.
I will say this. Two points here. It's really hard to coach up an older player. I mean, he has habits.
Especially when the coach is the same age or basically younger. Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah.
There's no experience there. You've got one of the best, most talented teams. You're paying tons of money. And then they continue to get rolled over by teams like Anaheim down the stretch. I mean, that's the one team I do not want to play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They scare me to death because it doesn't seem like Mike Yeo can figure out how to beat them.
I would say this. First pretty of all, a lot of those home games, though, one-goal games, and you kind of wonder if some of these lucky bounces that they've gotten on the road, you know, if they happened at home and it happened more easily, evenly, would we be talking about a team that's just kind of like at the cusp but not ready to kind of punch through and represent the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup. So, like I said, I was actually Pete Wagner's in the room over there. I was talking to him, and I said, here's the thing. I'd much rather have, and I think I wrote this in the piece, I'd much rather have a team that's actually having success on the road, especially if you're going to be the underseed,
sure.
And having, you know, trying to figure it at home, because at home you have 19,000 people. You are sleeping in your own bed. It is a familiar area. You know, you have last change, all that stuff. I would much rather have that where you have to maybe, you know, make some adjustments at home, because I think it'll be a little bit easier to do. The final point I want to make, though, real quick, is Kemper, I think, is a talented player. I think it's a lot mental, which Bob Mason is working with him right now on that. And not only that, he's 24, and goalies tend to be better later. So I would not – I think people want to punt on him and get rid of him. No. You keep him, and you hope that Dubnyk holds water for a little while, and then by the time Dubnyk kind of sucks, you put Kemper in, and he just runs with it.
Yeah, at the end of the season, if Dubnyk's having, you know, finishes the season the way he has played, which is unbelievable MVP type goalie play there for the Minnesota Wild, you give him all this money, that's another thing that worries me. You give him all this money and then we're screwed because he's not good. He's like a one-hit wonder.
How you do that contract, though, is actually, and it sounds kind of backwards, but you actually, I think you give him more years and less cap hit. So you say, I'm fine putting this amount of money on my bench if Kemper ends up being the guy late in the contract. I would say go 4 or 5 years, don't have him eat up cap space, give him job security, give him the money, you know, the money he wants, but spread out, and then you don't feel as bad as, in where I'm going with this, my last comment, year 4, year 5, if Kemper takes over when he's older and he's got it mentally down and he's a little bit bigger physically or whatever, then you're fine with Dubnyk. You don't want a whole bunch of money sitting on your bench at any point in the NHL in a salary cap league. But I'm fine with it if you're not paying him much in year 4, year 5.
I don't think the Wild are going to lose. I think they're going to win and they're going to get in the playoffs. So this whole Mike Yeo discussion, obviously.
I completely
agree. But if they don't, I just think it's unbelievable that you could pin that on the coach.
Well, such high expectations.
I mean, how about who's been holding this whole thing together when Zucker goes out and when Carter goes out? I mean, they had to pull up a lot of slack when that much offense
left. No. I would say this, though. I think they do have a good leadership structure within their locker room. People are going to point fingers at Mikko Koivu, but however you want to see it, Zach Parise is a good leader. Jason Pominville doesn't have a letter. He's a good leader. Ballard was a good leader for a while, and I think actually Leopold, I would say, has a very good influence on Matt Dumba. And I think that, you know, obviously you have Suter, and you have a lot of players in there who have experience, and I just talking to guys in the locker room, and I try to talk off the record and just say, hey, just be honest with me. What do you make of this? As much as they say on the record, it's the same voice off of it. Your Coils, your Zuckers, all these guys guys say, we have great leadership in the locker room. So it's not as though if you pull Mike Yo away that the team will just kind of crumble. Yeah. I think you'll have the same good leadership structure.
Completely agree.
Room.
Good defense, great goaltending, winning on the road, recipe for success. Like the way the Minnesota Wild are playing tonight, Calgary Flames. We're talking to Tom Schreier, 105theticket.com, writer for the Cold Omaha writing team. On Sunday, you wake us up, the wake-up call at 8 a.m. with Cold Omaha. What do you have coming up on the program for Sunday?
Yeah, so we'll have a Wild guest. We'll try with Chad Graff. I think we're going to try Pat Borsi because he had a really interesting story about kind of the animosity between the Twins and the Vikings with the whole Minnesota United deal. And then we're going to try with a Gopher guest. Like I said, we're still lining these up right now, but we will be discussing those topics among many others.
Fantastic. And there, and Tom Schreier, thank you for your time. As always, a good debate over this team that is absolutely red hot. And
super
they play
talented.
The red hot Calgary Flames tonight right here at the XL Energy Center. But thank you for your time.
Yeah, we'll thanks
back
for having
again.
You guys.
Those guys know what they're doing. Those writers are pretty sharp guys.
They're great guys. You
know, I think it's
are you still mad at me or are we good? Are we better?
No,
now?
You know what? I'm getting better.
Okay, good.
I feel better about
I'd
it.
I'd say I'd hold them back, but there's no chance that's happening.
I think I'm coming around. I'm coming around. Okay. If you hadn't stolen my keys and kept them yesterday, that would have made a big difference, a world of difference. Next up, we have Pete Wagner and Al Newman coming by, and that's going to be a lot of fun. They have a new show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That debuts when?
Tomorrow morning? 11 a.m.
Wow.
On Deck Radio.
That sounds good. Pretty fun stuff. So those guys are coming in. They'll be around here for a couple segments. And also Pete Wagner, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock on the ice on 105 The Ticket. So a lot to talk about. Next couple segments. Come on back and join us, won't you?
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McCurry's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
This Sunday, the STP 500 is at the shortest track in the Sprint Cup Series, Martinsville Speedway. Tune in Sunday at 11 a.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And the 0-1 is ripped to left and deep. That was a hanging slider. Back at the wall. That ball's gone. Torrey Hunter's first homer of the spring. His first homer back in a Twins jersey. Three-run shot.
Fantastic audio brought to you by our friends at Fox Sports North. Superstar Mike Morris. Radioactive Sports.
I'm pissed off.
I know you are. You've completely changed.
Yeah, the whole thing has just gone to hell. I'm glad we're going to baseball here a little bit, but oh, we've got a lot more to cover than that.
We'll talk about the Minnesota Wild again because we've got Pete Wagner here, one of our resident genii, because we have a couple of them when
it
comes to hockey.
We're talking some serious talk right here. It's been...
But we're screaming at each other while the commercials are going on.
No,
with the Minnesota
awesome.
Wild.
It's been a little shop talk has been going on. We've been talking turkey at this place.
Turkey.
Let's go baseball. Yeah, I'm hungry right now. Where do you get those wings at again?
Maislax. You're going to love them.
Oh. Okay.
Maislax chicken wings, best I've ever had. Except D-Spot.
Do you like garlic?
I love it.
Ooh, you'll love Maislax.
One of my favorites.
Phenomenal.
D-Spot. You ever been there? It's behind 3M out there in Oakdale.
No.
I want to say they
sounds
have...
like a personal thing, but no.
Sounds like I think they have like 500 different flavors of wings. Unbelievable. Anybody listening that likes chicken wings...
They're big ones.
Big
wings.
How do
big
you know wings. About all these places? I mean, you are just
he's a connoisseur.
Queued up.
He really is.
I'm an eater. I find the places and I go chow.
I'm going. Why
you make
out of town
man
I'm
v
going.
Food look like a rank amateur.
Yeah. that guy's a bitch.
I'm pissed off. You can't even try to put me in a good mood right now.
How about this? Al Newman's
are you guys
on the
talking
phone.
All that garbage about the Wild the way you are? I'm glad this is going to baseball. I'm glad it's
Man,
Al Newman, one of my favorite guys, too. One of my favorite guys.
No, my favorite guy.
No, my favorite guy. What the hell do you know, Pete Wagner?
Nothing. You guys are insane. Al Newman!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're fine, Al.
You're lucky you're not in the studio today because it is getting cray-cray up in here.
Well, let me just say this. I'm going to give the superstar just a big old bear hug next time I see him.
He needs one, Al.
Yeah. I'll take it. I love you, Al Newman. But these guys are absolute cantankerous, like calloused buttholes right now.
Jeez, I like you said that on radio, but
it's just the way it is, man. Yeah, it's been a tough break or two. I've had to live with these guys for a couple breaks, and that's as much as I want, Al.
Yeah, I understand. It's Friday, buddy. Maybe you get the weekends away from
They are calloused.
It's all right.
And I don't know. I'm going to go over to that damn game tonight is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to the
Wild game.
Yeah.
It should be exciting.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a great game.
Hey, what's going to be exciting, though, Al Newman, is that you and Pete Wagner have a new gig.
Along with Gene Larkin.
Gene Larkin. Absolutely.
That is awesome. I tell you what, we met the other day, and it was just a lot of laughter, a lot of continuity, and we hadn't even decided what the program was going to be about yet. Of course, we knew baseball would be part of it, but we had a lot of common ground, and I'm sure we'll probably need more than an hour to get it done.
Al, I couldn't agree with you more. We were at a local Einstein Bagels, and we were in there grinding it out with the best of them.
Wow, you
and
guys
I
go crazy
swear,
when you get together.
I will tell you this, Al. I think the place just stopped talking because we had our own show going there. It was awesome, wasn't it?
It was a free show.
Yes, it was. Yes, with some strong coffee behind it.
Nice.
Jeez.
Nice.
You guys are balls to the walls. Pete Wagner and Al Newman, World Series champion Al Newman, and Gene Larkin start their new show on deck tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Obviously talking baseball, what are your thoughts on the Minnesota Twins as they wrap up spring training and get ready for opening day early April in Detroit?
Well, I tell you what, they're excited to get out of the routine of playing day games for one thing. They need to readjust their body clocks, but on the other hand, you're going to open up in Detroit or you're going to be freezing your backside off. So some good and bad, but I tell you what, there's still a lot of jobs for them to decide on with that ball club, and hopefully we can come north with the idea that we're going to approach 500, and once we reach 500 late in the season, we start thinking about maybe a playoff push.
Al, tell me, give me one bright spot that you've taken from this spring training, and let us know about that, because you would know who's up and coming, who's the diamond in the rough. Who should we look for, a new face this year that's going to pay off for us?
Well, you know, I'm really the one player that I'm looking and interested in is the shortstop, and he's not a new player. He was here last year, Mr. Santana. I'm interested to see if he can hold down that position, but there's a lot of holes they're still trying to cover up. There are more concerns for me than there are guys that I'm saying, let's go, let's see what Buxton or Sano are going to do, because they've already sent them out of camp.
You know, to that point, one of the things we talked about before we came on for this segment, Al, was, you know, it seems like there's so many question marks from sprayed around the outfield, like a Joe Mauer at bat, all the way down to what the final pitching staff, who's going to be number five in the rotation. But is this more than usual, or is it, as what you said, you know, it's a result of, you know, four straight 90-plus loss seasons, but it doesn't seem like there is as many question marks then as there is now. Is that a direct result of competition or acknowledgement?
Well, I think it's acknowledgement and competition, if you can have it both ways. I think in previous years, we always thought we had enough, you know, just say like last year, bringing in Lasko and Pelfrey, And a couple other guys, we thought that would get us over the hump instead of just acknowledging that, you know, maybe you need to blow it up and start anew. But we're going to patchwork this thing together, starting with the new guy at the helm with Molly, and see what his decision-making process is going to be. I got a feeling they're going to mix in some youthful players here after about that first month. There'll be some adjustments again on that roster.
We're talking to Al Newman along with Pete Wagner. We're only missing Gene Larkin, but they're part of the new show called On Deck Radio tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Paul Molitor said the rotation will be pretty clear as to who's going to be that fifth starter in the rotation tomorrow after the team makes some cuts. We'll talk about that. More with Al Newman, and Pete Wagner is on the way here in just a little bit. Superstar.
That's what we're going to do then. That's what we're going to do. That's the game plan. You got that thing. You know, here's what we do around
time
here,
flies
Al.
When you're having fun.
Here's what we do. We plan our work and we work our plan. Can you join us next segment as well?
Sure. No problem.
That's what the hell we're going to do right after this break right here at Radioactive Sports.
Sports Radio. 105 The Ticket.
As Dozier swings and crushes one deep to left. Vicedo back. Turns at the wall. That ball is gone. First swing after signing a four-year deal, Brian Dozier belts his third homer of the spring.
Not bad, not bad. The kid signs it, he inks the deal, then he He picks up a damn ball bat, and he cranks one out of the stadium. That's
you
what
and
they
your
do.
Ball bats.
You hate that. I know you do. Welcome back. It's Radioactive Sports with the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson joining the show. Pete Wagner and Al Newman. They debut tomorrow at 11 o'clock with their new show. It's called On Deck Radio, starting tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Also, Pete Wagner, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock with On the Ice right here on 105 The Ticket. Welcome back to the show, Al Newman. By the way, Gene Larkin, I should also mention, is part of the show that starts tomorrow as a debut show. That's going to be pretty exciting to have some time, and the first time is tomorrow. So,
and we'll see you tomorrow night.
What can you see with a telescope?
Oof.
If you were to take one from here and point it through that window,
okay.
What could you see if you really were good at like positioning the telescope?
Well, let me think about this for a second.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible, too.
Uranus.
Yeah. Uranus is correct. Al Newman is the winner.
Al Newman, though.
Is Al Newman won?
I got that one.
Oh, good one, Al Newman. Good stuff, man.
You know, Al, we have to say, and the dynamic, I think when you bring Gene into this mix, I mean, do you think there will even be a word spoken on this program? I mean, it's just going to be a lot of laughs, but let's be honest. You two guys bring in such experience. Experience playing from your careers, how you got to the big leagues, what you did to be there, members of two world championship teams, and playing for TK and being loyal to this organization, you coaching still the Northwoods League now with Alexandria, Gino with the Edina guys with the Legion team. He must have a death wish. But anyway, it's just the experience you guys bring to the table is just so impressive.
Well, you know what, Pete, the thing that that I think about when I think of not only myself but Gene Larkin and Randy Bush, and maybe Superstar can attest to this, you know, when you're on a pretty good ball club, a lot of times the parts that are changed are your backup players. And, Gene, myself, and Randy Bush were three bench players that stuck around for both World Series championships. So with that, I'd have to say that our knowledge of the game is pretty good. Our situational awareness was pretty good, and that allowed Tom Kelly to make a lot of moves when he thought the proper time was, because he believed in his bench players. And when you can rely on your backup players over the course of 162 games, it'll definitely make you have a better ball club. And those are some of the things that Molitor is going to have to try to find with this 2015 version of the Minnesota Twins.
Talking to Al Newman, and you may have been a bench player, but you and Gene Larkin and Randy Bush played significant roles in both World Series victories. Now, Paul Molitor said they're going to cut down the roster a little bit, trim it up a bit again tomorrow, and the rotation will be a little bit more clear. Who's going to get that fifth and final starter spot in the rotation? Any surprises you see in the cut down tomorrow, Al?
I don't see any surprises, only because, you got what they consider the strong four with Santana, Hughes, Nolasco, who's been better this spring, and Pelfrey, I think is going to get that fifth slot. Although, there's guys like Trevor May and Tommy Malone who are also being considered. But for me, I think they have to go as veteran as they can on that pitching staff, just because you're trying to get innings. And I think when you have too many young guys on the staff, you're more tentative in their usage. And, with the veterans, they've had a pretty good career. They know how to get themselves healthy and stay active. So on that pitching staff, I look for them to try to go veteran, more of a veteran-laden than to have three or four young fellas. I think those would be the interchangeable parts that would come up and down from AAA.
Al, I've got to ask just the glaring question for me is, what do you think we can find with Joe Mauer this time around, and can he come back and be the guy that he's always been, at least at the plate? Is he going to be more comfortable down at first base? Is he going to be the Joe Mauer that we would expect to have back last year? And I mean, we all know what the situation has been around here. What have you seen of Joe Mauer thus far?
Well,
this spring
you know, for me, Star. I think one part that we totally forget with Joe is that he was on AstroTurf. And he was a doubles guy. He's a ground ball hitter type guy. And AstroTurf definitely assisted him. I'm not saying he wasn't a good 300, 330 hitter. But when you take that turf away there's a lot of those ground balls now as they're putting that shift on with Joe a little bit that he's losing hits that go right up the middle past the pitcher, and there's the shortstop right there. Those were base hits at the Metrodome off of that turf. But I honestly believe that Joe probably is as healthy as he's ever been. I think he's probably as positive as he's ever been with a fresh manager, fresh personnel around him. I think Torii Hunter, I'm not going to say took pressure off of him, but, you know, when you're always squawking, who's the leader? Joe's got to be the leader. Joe is a different type of leader. You know, yes, the $27 million puts all the attention on Joe. But more or less, I think with that being said, there's also the other team says, well, he's the only guy that's not going to beat us.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one guy that's not going to beat us. And so until we get hitters around Joe Mauer, no, you're not going to see the Joe Mauer of the past. Because back then, you got to remember, he had Corey Koski, Torii Hunter, Doug Mankiewicz that surrounded him in that lineup, and they were all good hitters.
Makes sense. We're talking to Al Newman, Twins great, just missing Gene Larkin, and of course the Wagon Train, Pete Wagner, the brand new show tomorrow called On Deck Radio every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. What do you have coming up? What do you have planned for tomorrow's debut program?
It's going to be a great show. We're going to talk about the very cuts that Mike was asking him about, what we're going to project that those final moves to be. We're going to talk about some other topical things, players that could be on the cusp of being moved, could stay. We're going to take a little bit of a look into the American League Central. We also have a special feature not covered enough in this area, Minnesota High School Baseball Preview, quick six-minute bit there. Kind of bring that into the foray. Al does a lot of work with the Northwoods League, which is a summer collegiate league where you play after your college season is done for that year and then return back to college. So we'll talk on some of the developmental side of things, but really it's going to be a heavily Twins-centric show. Where we're going to talk about what this team is, what it can do, and what has to happen. You have a choice as a fan. You can either grasp it or push it away. And I think you have something here with this coaching staff and the pieces they're trying to put together. It is taking time, but it's certainly worth watching it grow and evolve, kind of like watering the plants. So I think that's a lot of what this show is going to be.
Awesome.
And I'll tell you what I think it's going to be, too. I think along with Pete Wagner, we have Al Newman and we have Gene Larkin. And I think those are the keys to the puzzle here. I think the chemistry with those three that you have in that room to begin this show, it's one thing to be a good player, or a bit player, a role player, or a situational player like Al Newman, Gene Larkin. They have personalities too. You can either do this radio thing or you can't. As a former player, you can either do it or you can't. And these two guys are going to bring it to the table. So as a fan, you can either push it away or keep it. You can bank on what they're going to say on their show that starts tomorrow. Yep. So that's my endorsement.
Can't wait.
We give you a hug, man.
we can see it through the phone line.
He's been crotchety. I can't wait. 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. Thank you, Al Newman. We appreciate it very much.
See you guys.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Be good, Al.
Pete's sticking around, though, because we've got to continue that wild argument that's got you so crotchety. And what'd you say? We have calloused bungholes?
Well, I just think you're both a couple of delusional, calloused asses. And
how does a butt get calloused?
Get a telescope and you'll find out. Get a telescope and you'd find out, wouldn't you? Come on back, everybody. Radioactive Sports with Pete Wagner, Ben Holson, myself. This thing, it ain't going away. Come on back.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
He shot down every screamer who's been crowing that he's washed up, that he's busted up, and that he should hang them up. He's not going to do it.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket. Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson, you're listening to 105 The Ticket.
Coming back home, we can't have any kind of idea or sense that we're just going to go play better by making nicer plays. Those plays develop by doing certain things, and for us, I think it comes down to getting back to a team that's tough to play against at home.
Yeah, that's the voice of Mike Yeo describing over and over and over again sort of what this is going to be in this showdown that we have, and the winning here on the home ice with the home ice advantage. It's right on their terrible towel.
Home of the home ice.
Home of the whole home ice. Yeah. The coolest towel ever.
I have ever heard in my life.
I know it.
Because if you're the home of the home ice advantage,
don't you?
Well, you watch out.
Yeah.
Because that means you're a badass.
Well, we haven't been so good at home lately.
I'm just glad that whoever came up with that is one of the brightest people I've ever known in my life. Home of the home ice advantage. Oh, really?
So we've been kicking this thing around here for a while. not on the air so much, but just whooping some ass behind the scenes without the microphones being on. It's just been nothing short of ugly with a capital U.
That's all right.
And, you know, and we still have Pete Wagner with us. And we're going to preview the game tonight. I don't know. I mean, the Calgary Flames, you've told us, they're a tough, surly outfit rolling in here.
Hungry.
I mean, they want it. They need it. They've got to have it. So do we. So, I mean, we're fixing for a pretty good little scrum down.
You're right. And this is a Calgary team that's been pretty much in the playoff scheme from day one. And they just got tossed out by Los Angeles. A terrific run through New York, beating the Rangers. First playoff team to clinch, by the way. Then the New York Islanders, who are guaranteed a spot, essentially. And now they're coming here, L.A., waiting for the Wild to play Calgary. So Los Angeles played some great hockey. And Calgary now is on the outside looking in. And they're surly, desperate. And, you know, it's great to be a fan because this is great drama unfolding. But it's also exhausting all in the same stretch, wouldn't you say, gentlemen? I mean, at some level, it's just stressful. I mean, if you get emotionally involved into it. And, you know, one of the things that I was rubbing my brow when he was talking about, just because we're home, we got to be a tougher team to play. And guys, what's the date of today? Is it what, the
27th?
Okay, it's the 27th of March, and you're still talking about being a tough team to play at home? I mean, you got to be right now. There's no choice. What is so hard about that?
Why are they so good on the road? Why have they won 10 games in a row on the road? Okay, franchise so best, but have been, what is it? They've only won 3 out of the last 7 games at home.
Because, okay,
you
hear this.
Home is where you win the ball games.
Okay, so in between periods. What a great road period. What the hell is a road period? A home period should be the same as a road period. The only difference is that you don't get to put your line out first when you're on the road or at home. You can wait and you can match. That's it. So it's flashy. It shouldn't matter if you're wearing your white sweaters or your dark sweaters. I just don't get it.
That's why, another reason, I'm not a big fan of Mike Young. He's not a leader, in my opinion. He's not a guy that can go out there and make it happen.
I know he's young. I know that he's been tested. I know that he's come out of it every time. Somehow, some way, they've figured it out, whether it was him or not. Suter goes on record saying it was Mike Yo that kept him together.
Last year.
I'm saying last year. Based on these last two seasons, he's been through a lot as a coach, as a young coach. And he's weathered through it. I mean, that little run we took last year into the playoffs was nothing short of amazing. And then you add to that some of the injuries and everything else that we've had this year and the loss of two fathers to our two biggest stars, perhaps. And the whole series of sicknesses, whether it's, you know, the flu or the mumps, or this team has gone through, I don't know. Vanek doesn't work when he gets here. Kemper decides he can't play anymore. Reminds me of Matt Quill. I mean, I don't know. Where'd he go? But that's what we've got ourselves up against right now. And now we have this enormous run. We find one player, we plug him in, everything works. And if it doesn't work now down the stretch after all this to play catch up, it's Yo's fault.
Well, very fair statements. I will say this. I will say this. To the point of, yes, you definitely have two players whose fathers passed away, one through a long, arduous process and a very difficult letting go process. And, you know, I mean, that's, you know, I said this yesterday, too, and I was talking to Bob about this on his show. You cannot estimate that these guys, you know, they are human. They do have feelings. They do have emotions. And, you know, Mike, the scary part is, you know, athletes are conditioned to not say, you know, I'm hurting right now. I'm not feeling very solid. You know, you can't, you know, it's not allowed, but the fact is that's very real. And I think it had to make an impact on just their overall being, maybe not sleeping well. You know, the grieving process isn't easy.
It's not.
And that's part of it.
I lost my father during the middle of the season in the football season in 94. It's not. And the same day that I lost my father, Todd Scott lost his father, too, the very same day. It's tough. It's really tough. When you get back to it, it's good to be back with the guys. It's good to come back and rejoin the team and to be back in action again. It's somewhat motivating. I think Zach Parise was unbelievable when he came back. I mean, he came back, he was just showed a different kind of toughness and, you know, spit some teeth out and got gashed again. And he, I mean, he just got up and kept fighting.
Almost a resolve from him. And you are right in the sicknesses and whatnot. My only thing has been, as there's been just a pattern of these dips, peaks and valleys.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of the game. I get that. Part of the game. But at some point, when do these all become excuses in the grand scheme of things through the body of work? And when nothing, not our decision to make, not our thought, but it's at least worth talking about.
Sure, and it just recently, and I'm going to put this on Dubnyk's shoulders, that we're beating the St. Louis Blues and Nashville Predators. I mean, we've been rickrolled by those guys, and the Anaheim Ducks scare me to death because they come
in.
They come in and they just continuously out-muscle us.
And they will.
The last eight games obviously starts with the five-game homestand starting tonight, Calgary Flames. They are just 4 points back from us, 3 points out of the wild card spot here in the Western Conference. Literally, though, I mean, we play Calgary tonight, Los Angeles Kings, the defending Stanley Cup champions, tomorrow. Then we have a couple of days off until Thursday, New York Rangers, Detroit Red Wings, who are just as tough. Then right back to the Western Conference again with all teams that are just right on our heels, or we're right on their heels with the Winnipeg Jets, then on the road against Chicago, on the road against Nashville, on the road against the St. Louis Blues. I thoroughly believe that we're going to get into the playoffs. That is one heck of eight games to go. And if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, I can see them losing or winning any of those games, really, when it comes down to it.
And every team there, you can see losing or winning those games. Nothing's guaranteed. It gets tighter. It's tougher to score goals. Every turnover is magnified. Every special team is magnified. How you respond to certain situations, there aren't points you can give away. You got to win in regulation because you're giving teams, you know, a little bit of space and breathing room. But what it really comes down to is you can't look at who they play tomorrow with Los Angeles sitting in the St. Paul Hotel right now. Instead, you have to look to tonight. Yeah. Your first shift, your first period, and you have to get dirty, you have to get greasy, and you have to play a road game at home.
Yeah,
you just do.
Yeah.
I mean, but it really comes down to that. They're very capable of doing it. They own their own destiny. It's impressive what they've done, but it's not going to be easy, and that's what makes sports so great.
Yeah, and they've basically been on a playoff atmosphere since the All-Star game.
Haven't they?
Coming down, and so it's been great hockey. Pete Wagner's been our guest for the last 45 minutes. We appreciate you coming in. Excited for your new show tomorrow, along with Gene Larkin and Al Newman. It is called On Deck Radio, all about baseball, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., but still, we're still talking hockey. The hockey season is still going on. I know you have a busy show. You also host the 9 a.m. show on the ice here on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket tomorrow morning. What do you got coming up on that show?
We've got reporters embedded throughout the NCAA hockey tournaments. Yeah, absolutely. Wolf Blitzer reporting. Timmy Coleminen's up in Fargo with that regional, so he's watching the Michigan Tech and North Dakota Crew, St. Cloud State. They were embarked in a big game as a one-goal contest. And then out in Manchester, New Hampshire, is our very own Chad Graff. He's covering UMD's absolute savaging of the Minnesota Gophers, 4-0 right now.
Jeez.
UMD. So he's going to have some great sound bites. Can't wait to hear in that locker room. Sounds like
down.
That's going to be a blast. So he's going to be covering that. He and I will, of course, be talking about the Wild. I laughed at him. I said, you're from New Hampshire. Would you rather be home right now and chilling for the week because he went straight from the Islanders? Or you're on the beat following this great Wild story and you're going to miss two massive games. Yeah. He no-commented me.
No comment. Yeah. No comment.
Couldn't even answer.
Wow. Wow. That says it all right there, then. I'd like to know how good this team would have been if they had had Dubnyk to begin the season. But they didn't.
Was Chuck Fletcher lucky or smart when he traded for Devan Dubnyk?
When the trade was made, I would have said lucky, because I spoke to a gentleman, a National Hockey League general manager slash scout type of guy, during the high school hockey tournament, and I said, did you see this coming from Dubnyk? He was, we'll say, from Northwestern Canada, one of those teams.
Sure.
And he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Bang.
Not shocked.
No, surprised that he's been this good.
Absolutely not surprised.
100% surprised.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He was surprised.
And it's not
a knock. So where did this come from? Where did this come from?
You know,
his rejuvenated
really
career
from
out of nowhere.
I believe this from Sean Burke. Many are believing that he is the best goalie coach in the league. He, of course, a former Devils goaltender and Phoenix Coyote goaltender. He's a big guy. He's about 6'5", 6'6", just like Devan Dubnyk. He was able to work body to body, exactly what they need to do positionally, and I think he was really key to calming down the movements and keeping the extra rebounds. No Pez dispenser here spitting them out. He's been one and done with those rebounds. I'm saying it's the combination of a fresh start. You can't get lower than you got last year like he did. And then a fresh start, geez, I still have an NHL contract. I still have a job. And, oh, I got this awesome coach named Sean Burke who gets me, and it worked. I think that's what it is.
Well, nothing like a great assistant coach, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. They've gotten a lot of people a long distance with no cards in their hand. That's happened on the football field for us many times. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap it up with the sillier side of sports and a true superstar, and we'll call it a week. Next.
Your home for hockey talk in the Twin Cities. On the Ice, hosted by Pete Wagner of MinnesotaHockeyMag.com and Chad Graff of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
I think you're only as good as your defensemen are.
I think Matt Dumba plays a big role in the second power play unit, but as far as that goes, Mikhail Granlund has been huge for them. Yeah. When he was out, it was so hard for that second unit to set anything up. Really, you know, the top power play, though, has been outstanding.
On the Ice, hockey talk every Saturday morning at 9, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
Just a couple more minutes with you and I get freedom!
I can smell those chicken wings right now.
Never take my freedom, superstar!
I'm going to quarter you out. Put a quarter of you in each corner of the state of Minnesota.
Oh, perfect. I can't wait.
And I'm going to have your head on a silver platter by the time this tournament is over with. Speaking of the brackets.
Oh, you think so?
It's like in Braveheart. You were talking about freedom and the Mel Gibson line. Sure. Well, they quartered him up and they put his head on a platter and took it to the queen. Mm-hmm. That's you.
Pretty much everything that you and I bet against, I crush you at. So I don't know where you're getting this newfound
confidence.
Confidence. I don't have any idea. I mean, there was one time, the first year we were on the radio together, where you spanked both Bob and I when it came to football picks. But ever since then.
Still would have done it. We didn't do it the same format.
Yeah, we did.
No.
Yeah, same exact thing.
I'm sorry.
No,
you're wrong.
No. I'm the one that put the format together. I copied the format from the year before.
No.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the NFC North.
Mm-hmm. It was.
It was more games than that. And you are completely wrong.
I'm right. It's okay.
You're buying lobster, by the way. You're buying lobster for Jim Rich.
I'll have to wait and see there. I sure hope not. San Francisco and the 49ers, I want a sillier side of sports because this is ludicrous to me and you're going to laugh. The 49ers believe they found their running back replacement for Frank Gore, and his name is Reggie Bush.
Okay.
At least that's what new head coach Jim Tomsula seems to believe. He said, quote, Reggie can be an every down back. He's done that in the NFL. He's a running back.
Okay.
He's not a gadget guy, in my opinion. I think Reggie Bush is a running back. I'm really excited about Reggie joining the crew. Mm-hmm. Two problems with that, though. Reggie Bush, 30 years old. He's coming off a season where he missed 5 games due to injury. Seems like he's always injured. If Reggie can still produce, the physicality and the physical toll of being an every down back is going to be super rough. I just don't think he can do it, and I know you can't either.
I don't either. One of the biggest disappointments in this league, coming out of USC, a great player, a great talent, and when he's on, he's on. When that guy's on, he's on, but he can't stay on the football field. And I think he's a great talent, but some people are just not made for the long haul in terms of a season of 16 games. Or a career of 8, 9, 10 years.
But he's not a running between the tackles type of running back. If you run him between the tackles like a Frank Gore guy, because you just pound him, he's going to be screwed by his second week.
He can't stay on the football field. But he is an incredible talent. I hand it to him. If he felt 100% every week going into a football game and he put his shoulder pads and his helmet on every week and made it through full games, which is a rarity for Reggie Bush, but I'm sorry, this guy is not the answer.
No, Jim Tomsula.
I'm sorry. Right. Reggie Bush is not the answer.
According to the will of Dean Smith, one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time, each player that ever lettered for Smith is going to inherit $200 with the message, quote, enjoy a dinner out, compliments of Coach Dean Smith. Former players already receiving their letters with an attached check for the money with a notation in that that check on the bottom left-hand corner that says dinner out. Isn't that nice?
That's unbelievable. That's
$35,000 for all the players that he coached that lettered with him during his career.
It's incredible. I'm guessing he made some money, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I'm just guessing that maybe one speaking engagement would be worth about that.
Sure.
I would think so. I would think he's very endorsable. But what a gesture.
Love though. That guy.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, sillier side of sports, Ayanna Crystal. Sure, that's how you say her name. She's a reporter. She's an anchor for CSN Chicago. It's like FSN here. Wednesday night during the Bulls telecast, Matt Spiegel and Dan Bernstein, their sports talk radio hosts on 670 The Score, had this Twitter conversation about her skills or lack thereof. Matt tweeted, Ayanna Crystal makes me uncomfortable. I feel how hard she's trying and end up awkwardly rooting for her to finish cleanly, kind of like my reading skills here. Dan responded, tweeting, I have no rooting interest in her work, but enjoy her large boobs.
Okay.
Matt then tweeted, saying, I'm probably distracted from them by a professional discomfort. It's a crime. Dan responded, saying, tweeting, just boobs again. Then Matt tweeted something about Chicago Cubs hitting coach being on CSN with Dan ending the conversation with another tweet that simply said, boobs, ?
What's the deal?
They're in some trouble.
Yeah, a little.
She has fantastic boobs, and she's not very good on the TV. I went back and watched like a YouTube clip of her. Not good by any means. And she dresses in this very skimpy skin type thing.
Here
but
we go.
But as I mean, we can't go on and talk about the bodies of like Marnie Gellner or anything. I mean, imagine the trouble we would get. We're professionals. You can't do that.
You can't do that. Who was it that had something to say about Hannah Storm? It was on ESPN. Come on. He used to be on Monday Night Football, too.
Joe Theismann?
No. The older
Joe
guy.
Namath?
No.
Rush Limbaugh?
No. He's on...
Chris Berman?
No. It'll come to me, but it's going to be
Frank Gifford?
No, I'm sorry. It's the older guy that does the debate on... pardon the interruption.
Tony Kornheiser.
Tony Kornheiser did. Yeah. He said something about Hannah Storm, and I'm telling you what, man, I don't know how he's still in the air. So she shouldn't dress that way, the way she does. What's wrong with her? I mean, he had all kinds of little. It was Kornheiser. It was
poor women. I mean, they're such double standards.
Yeah, there are, but you can't
but
go on.
So
you can't
beautiful.
Go on like that. Yeah, of course
I
they
love
are.
Them.
Well, I do too.
But yeah, you
I love you too, man.
Boobs.
I really.
But
do.
I don't have any boobs.
I used to have boobs. I still have.
Now I have pectorals.
Yeah, now you do.
I look in the mirror, you know.
You're lifting some weights.
And I'm starting to try and make them dance a little bit. Kind of, not like you can make them dance, but I'm kind
of
getting
I've had a lot of work. A lot of dance skills.
Yeah,
my God, 41 years of lifting now. It's ridiculous. And asinine. I should just put it down. I'm going to retire.
Ton of games this weekend, of course. NCAA March Madness bracket games are already going on. A Wild play in 5 minutes on FSN Plus.
Bang.
Wolves on FSN, 7 o'clock. I love you to death. I'm going to miss you this weekend. I hope to see
Likewise.
You on Monday.
Yes.
And we'll do this all over again.
Let's do it again. And good luck with your bracket.
Thank you.
And I'm sure you're going to buy some lobster by the time it's all said and done. Army Staff Sergeant Donnie D. Dixon, 37 years of age, from Miami, assigned to the headquarters and headquarters company, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 1st Cavalry Division out of Fort Hood, Texas. He died September 29th in Bulur, Iraq, of wounds sustained when insurgents attacked his unit using small arms fire. 37 years old. Army Staff Sergeant Donnie D. Dixon is my true superstar for the day. Remember him in your hearts and prayers, if you would, please. Have a good weekend. Good luck in your brackets. Good night.
Available on iHeartRadio.